That's a cool microphone. It's got cool buttons.
Yeah.
Wow, and there's a little black guy on front of it.
It's a pop filter so that the P's and the S's and the T's
Pop or don't pop?
don't.
Okay, cool.
So it's a non-pop.
Okay.
It's a D-pop filter.
Popper.
D-pop chopra. Isn't that a.
Well, no.
I don't know how to say that guy's name.
I can tell. Okay.
Okay.
This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. Friends, welcome back. I'm so thankful that you're here. You are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast, and this is a show that is dedicated to helping you not run away from home. You know you've thought about it. I do my best each week to make sure that you learn something new, laugh a lot, and remember that you are already enough. This is episode 145, and my guest this week is Heather Creekmore. Before we start, I just want to remind you at the top of the episode, you heard my sister being super impressed with the buttons on my microphone. I have such an unfair advantage, being that I get to edit these. I can say rude things like that, and she doesn't even get a chance to say anything, at least while you're listening. She'll definitely say something. Every other week, we bring you well-researched, incredibly well-thought-out arguments, or the very best that we can muster, on topics that we find interesting and hope that you will too, on our Struggling Sisters podcast, which is exclusive for Patreon supporters. So don't miss out on all the laughs and the learning that happen on the Struggling Sisters podcast. Go to momstrugglingwell.com. Nope. Go to patreon.com/momstrugglingwell. Websites are hard, you guys. Before we jump in, I want to read this week's review. The reviews, really, I want to hear what you have to say. I pour my heart and a whole lot of my time into this show for you, so I would love to hear your words. They've made it super easy to leave reviews on Apple Podcasts, so if you haven't done that yet, please go ahead and do that. So this week, Snaboose said, "When I started out looking for things to fill in for the lack of adult interaction, hello, that being with a baby all day sometimes brings, it's turned into one of my favorite things to listen to. I'm going back through old episodes and I can't stop listening. As a recent first-time mom, I've been looking for encouragement and want to fill myself with God's goodness. This podcast does just that for me. It's incredibly encouraging while still being completely relatable, just what a mom needs." Yay. That is such my heart for this show. So thank you so much for the review. Thank you guys for listening. I know there's a million choices that you have when you go to your podcast app. Just a reminder, last week we talked to my friend Nika Spaulding. We talked about diversity, theology, apologetics, lots of big topics, but very important. Head to episode 144 if you didn't get a chance to listen to that one yet. And today we talked to Heather. Heather is a church planter and pastor's wife living in the suburbs of Dallas. Her ministry is called Compared to Who, and she focuses on body image, comparison, kind of the stuff that women struggle with almost every single minute of our lives. In addition to all that, we talk about her experience on the Netflix series Nailed It. She talks about road trips and how she makes them work with her kids, and how we can understand that God's design for our appearance goes along with our calling. So let's go ahead and jump right in to my chat with Heather. Hi, Heather. How are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you, Emily?
I'm so good. I'm so good. Will you tell us a little bit about yourself, please?
Well, I'm a mom of four, and my husband and I are, we like to call ourselves overachievers because we went ahead and had four kids in 5 years.
Oh my gosh.
Just to get it done.
Was that the plan? Like, that's why?
Well, we were older when we got married.
Okay.
So, and we were only going to have three. And then that last one, we just felt like we needed to get one more in there, have an even number. Okay. And it was really crazy those first, I would say, 6 or 7 years. But now we're in that sweet spot, that elementary school age. And it's good now. I'm really glad we did. But I also homeschool, which is a little crazy, too. Something I never thought I would do.
Okay, so I would love to hear why, if you never thought you would.
Well, I tried to teach my oldest his alphabet and how to write when he was like 3 and 4 years old.
Okay.
And it was a struggle. So I was like, forget this. I am a horrible teacher. You know, I'm the person that would volunteer in like the kids class at church and need to take a nap the rest of the afternoon.
Yeah.
Because it's not my personality to teach. But God just really showed me that they needed to come home.
Okay.
And it's been good. It just matches their personalities better.
Okay.
My eldest is a little bit uptight. And so just being able to learn in a relaxing environment, I think has made a big difference for him.
That's good.
But yeah, so we do that. My husband's a pastor, so I'm a pastor's wife. We planted a church about 7 years ago, so that's been a crazy journey.
Yeah.
And I write books, you know, because I've got all this free time.
Oh my goodness, yes.
And I blog and I speak to women and do fun stuff like that too.
That's so good. I love it. All right, so I'm sorry, you've also been on a Netflix baking competition.
I have.
Tell me everything about that.
I'm under contract, so they won't let me say too much, but it was super fun.
Well, hold it. Was it a one-time thing?
One-time thing right now, although if you saw my performance, I'm really hoping that they're going to ask me to come back.
Did you win?
I did not.
But you performed in such a way.
Yeah. So the idea of the show, it's called Nailed It on Netflix.
Yeah. I just started watching it, actually.
Okay.
I wonder if I saw the one.
I'm the first contestant on the first episode.
Oh my gosh, I totally just watched that a couple days ago.
Yeah. So
did you make the cake pops with the...
I made the cake pops and then the blue cake. And the blue cake is actually the icon, if you click on Netflix to find the show. That's my cake and my covered in red fondant stained hand holding it up.
Was yours the one that was super blue?
Yes.
That's so funny. That was
me.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so you can't talk about what might be next, but something might be next.
I'm hoping they ask me back. They have not done that yet, but I'm hoping I made a memorable enough performance that they'll give me a second try. But it was a blast. We had so much fun filming it.
It was fun.
And you know what, Emily? I mean, not to take it too deep here, but
take
it deep. Okay, I'm going for it. It has been a desire of my heart to do television since I was a kid. And when I became a mom, and like I said, we got married at 31. I became a mom at 32. So I've had a career all through my 20s. And I love television stuff, but I was always kind of the woman behind the scenes. I worked for politicians. I worked for nonprofit leaders. And I was the person kind of standing there telling them to smile or straighten their tie, that kind of thing.
Okay.
But I always loved television. And it had been a dream of mine to do television stuff. And I was just getting to the point in my career where those kind of things might have been possible. Okay. And I felt like God told me to go home to focus on my kids. Okay. And so I quit my job and, you know, like I said, started staying home, eventually started homeschooling. And it was just a really neat God thing to see him acknowledge that hidden desire in my heart that I thought I would never be able to do something like that. I mean, first of all, okay, when it comes to cooking shows, I am a horrible baker, right? As you saw the show, you know that already about me.
You're not that great.
No, I'm awful. So the odds of me ever being on a Food Network show, I mean, come on. So it was just a really a special thing where I felt like God was just kind of putting his arm around me saying, see, I know, and I can still provide if you trust me.
Yes.
And it was just really neat.
That is so cool. I love that story. He's so good to us. He was way better than we even give him credit for.
Absolutely. Yes, we doubt so often, and I know I'm guilty, but if we just trust, he can bring it together in ways we could never, ever foresee.
Never. I bet you never saw it. Nailed it.
Absolutely. In fact, so they sent me a random message through my blog. It's probably been, oh goodness, I guess the whole process probably started a little bit more than a year ago. They sent me this random message through my blog. And it was like, would you like to be on a baking show for people who can't bake? And I thought it was some sort of joke or spam or something.
Right.
And I replied and just kept replying to these random emails I was getting from the casting company. And it was just really neat. Really neat to see God work that out.
So random. I love it. I don't even watch TV. I can't believe that I've seen your episode just recently. That is so weird. I love it.
Okay, so who else has tried FabFitFun? If you don't already know about it, it is a seasonal box and it gives you full-size beauty, fitness, and lifestyle products. I gotta be honest, I'm so concerned about this because I love my box so much, I'm gonna have to sign up. My box came with the most adorable makeup bag ever, one of those trigger point balls, which my husband is trying to steal, I've currently hidden it, shower gel from Japan that smells like heaven. My very favorite thing is one of those, I've been wanting to buy one, is a facial cleansing brush that kind of like vibrates and is somehow connected to Bluetooth. It is all too wonderful for me to even understand right now. I added it up because I was curious. All the stuff in this box cost $327. What? But if you sign up for FabFitFun, you don't pay anywhere near that. Don't miss out though, they sell out really fast. Check out FabFitFun.com and use code STRUGGLE so you can save $10 off your first box. Again, that's FabFitFun.com, coupon code STRUGGLE, and your first box will only cost $39.99. That's amazing. So I want to talk about road tripping with your family. You have a lot of kids. What are some hacks that you think would help a mom? What works well for you guys?
Okay, so my number one hack is I do gift bags, okay. For lack of a better term. And the kids have started to depend on them, which may be bad. I might have spoiled them. But I will like get them each. A lot of times it's those like reusable bags with, you know, Disney characters or whatever. They cost like $1 as you're checking out of, you know, Target or TJ Maxx or one of those kind of places. Yeah. And I will fill it with coloring books. Normally markers because crayons melt, candy that doesn't melt, okay. Like fruit snacks, you know, really healthy, super great stuff. But hey, you know, you do what you have to do to get through, right?
For sure.
And, you know, puzzles, handheld kind of puzzles or games. I'll just put a bunch of really, you know, cheap stuff in there, mm-hmm. honestly. But it gives them something to look forward to. And I give it to them the morning we leave. And so they spend like the first half an hour of the trip just like looking through their bag and being really excited about the stuff in their bag. Okay. And then I think as opposed to if I just handed out coloring books or something, everyone would be like, oh, mom, we don't want to color. But because it's part of their bag, their special treat, it's like, oh, I have to do everything in the bag. And I think they do more that way.
Okay.
And then we have a DVD player in our van. So yes. We watch way too many movies, but you know, you get there.
You get there. I love it. When we recently went on a road trip and we had the DVD player, you know, we have to like you have to put the DVD in and then there's a screen attached to it. It's like a tiny laptop looking thing.
Uh-huh.
We bought it right like 5 minutes before tablets became a thing. And I'm like, what? Okay. <Yep. laughs> So anyway, we go on the road trip, but I was not going to buy a tablet after I just bought one of these things. So my son, as soon as we pulled out of the driveway, poured a water bottle on it on accident.
Oh, no.
And so we had a really great teachable moment about how technology is not always waterproof.
Oh, that's painful. That is painful.
Oh, man. Anyway, may it rest in peace. Have you had any disasters on your road trips?
We've had some vomiting incidences, you know, those are always good. And it seems like whenever you like grab for a plastic bag to hand back to the kid, yeah. That's always a plastic bag that has a hole in the bottom.
Yes, it is.
Or at least that's the way it happens in our house. So, you know, we've had a couple of those. I took a trip kind of against my doctor's orders. I was 8 months pregnant with our fourth. Okay. So I had a 1-year-old, a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old, and I was 8 months pregnant, and we drove to Florida from Dallas.
Okay. Okay.
So it's 18 hours.
Wow.
My doctor said I needed to stop every hour and a half. And then between changing diapers and kids that were just potty trained needing to go potty. And, you know, when they are just potty trained, they need to go potty right now.
Yeah.
It took us, it felt like a week to drive to Florida.
Okay. So, that does sound terrible.
That was a good time.
Yes. Wow. All right. So I wanted to talk about your struggle that you've written about in your book. This is your most recent book, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So about comparison and about kind of body image type things.
Yeah.
That's something that I think a lot of us feel like we should be past because we're like grownups and we have our own offspring. but we're not over it. And so talk about what this has looked like for you and what brought you to the point of writing this book.
Sure. You know, like you said, I thought that becoming a mom would fix my body image issues. Not that I really thought that my body was going to get better after I became a mom or anything like that, but I really believed that I would have so much more important stuff to think of. And, you know, to keep people alive, I thought would consume all that brain space that I was spending on, you know, what diet should I go on next? And how much should I work out versus how much should I eat? And all of those things that really just consumed my thought life for decades, really. I mean, for me, the struggle started in third grade. I remember my mom bought me these pink pleather, and some people don't know what pleather is anymore. Yeah, vegan leather, I think, is what they call it now. And that sounds so much fancier.
It does.
But I had these pink vegan leather pants, and I remembered thinking that my legs looked big in pink pants. And I went to school and I looked around and I noticed, wow, you know, my legs are a little bit bigger than some of the other girls. And that started for me just a cycle of, I was dieting by middle school, by high school. I was seeing how long I could go without eating. And then, you know, I'd make it like all day long, get home and just be ravenously hungry, stuff my face and feel like I had failed, like I had done something really wrong.
Because you ate.
Because I ate. Yeah. By the time I got to college, I was really just yo-yoing back and forth between being at school and eating everything in sight. Because, you know, in college, there's a lot of social opportunities to eat. And also, you know, for comfort, too. I mean, first time being away from home. So I know it was comfort eating as well. But then I would go home on breaks and I would try to fast to try to balance it out. And by my sophomore year of college, I lost my period for 9 months.
Wow. So would you say, I mean, would you have called it an eating disorder at that time?
Well, so this was the 90s, early 90s, and there were only two categories for eating disorders. There was bulimia and there was anorexia. Well, I wasn't thin. I needed to lose a couple pounds and I couldn't throw up. Although if I'm honest, I will tell you I tried, but I couldn't do it. So I didn't fit into either one of those categories. And I really believed I was just normal. I thought every woman was as consumed with a diet, and eventually for me, it was exercise and what she looked like and how much she weighed. And, you know, I thought every woman had the same like barrage of thoughts going on in her head every single day, just like I did. And so I thought it was a normal girl problem. But what God showed me really, it was after my fourth child, my youngest was born, was that it wasn't a normal girl problem, that there was a way out of it. And it wasn't the way I expected.
I want to give a special thank you to HelloFresh, who is another sponsor of today's show. There really is something for everyone with HelloFresh. There's three plans to choose from: Classic, Veggie, or Family. You can rediscover the excitement of cooking and feel confident when you're cooking because HelloFresh has simple recipes outlined with pictures, with step-by-step instruction cards. It's so easy. My kids do most of the cooking when HelloFresh comes. HelloFresh believes that cooking should be simple, convenient, and not a chore. There are a lot of one-pot recipes for seriously speedy cooking and minimal cleanup. Holla, that is what we all want, yes? There are so many benefits to subscribing. You're going to get out of the recipe rut. You're going to start cooking outside your comfort zone by discovering new, delicious recipes in each week's box. So most recently in the box, we got sweet as honey chicken, green beans, jasmine rice. Can I tell you that I was the absolute hero that evening? And then my personal favorite was the pineapple poblano beef tacos. Oh my goodness. My mouth is, I'm not kidding. My mouth is watering as I look at this picture. My biggest problem right now is how to get more of that in my life. Oh, I know how. For $30 off your first week of HelloFresh, visit HelloFresh.com/MSW30 and then enter the coupon code MSW30. So for $30 off, visit HelloFresh.com/MSW30 and then the coupon code will also be MSW30. Hey, since you're listening to this right now, you know your phone is by you. Go ahead and snap a picture, post it on Instagram or Facebook, tag me in it, and let me know what you're doing while you listen to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. I am always sharing my life with y'all. It's time for you to do the same. Did you like that guilt trip? I was trying to lay it on pretty thick. But really, I would love to see what you're up to when you listen to the show. So snap that selfie and tag Mom Struggling Well. Did you talk to your friends about it? Like, how did you know it was not normal? Because I mean, honestly, I think it's a spectrum. Like, I think it's definitely on most all of our minds, but how much and how often and how extensively, you know what I mean? And so it's kind of hard. It's such a scale that, like, how do you know when it's a problem and how do you know when it's regular?
So I use the word normal really kind of as a substitute for common. And I thought because it was so common that it was normal, that everyone was the exact same way. But I think what I found out was, yes, I probably did have some sort of eating disorder, probably now that would be classified as EDNOS, eating disorder not otherwise specified, is the acronym for EDNOS. But really what God showed me was, even though it was normal, even though most women do struggle, and like you said, it's a spectrum. So some are struggling like I did with thoughts all day long, you know, a thought an hour or more. Some it's, you know, hey, maybe once a week, or, you know, once every couple of days, maybe once a month, I would say on the very far end of the spectrum. I've done some research amongst mostly Christian women. And what I found is, at least according to the 600 or so women that I surveyed, normal, if you will, is thinking about this once a day or more. Most women, I think it was 98% are thinking about this once a day or more. But there was a really high percentage, like 50% or so, that were thinking about it once an hour. So we're always thinking about this. But for me, it was finding out that just because it was normal, just because it was common, didn't mean that I was going to always have to struggle. Because I think I just assumed that because every woman I know struggled, that I would always have to struggle. It was just something I was going to have to carry with me to the grave because I was born female, right? You know, hey, we're women. We have this struggle. We're always going to have a struggle. And what God showed me really was that I had made an idol out of my body image. And when he started revealing to me, and I mean, God's gracious in the way he reveals this stuff to us. So it's not like, you know, there was a bolt of lightning and, you know, I heard a booming voice, Heather, you've made this an idol. You know, it wasn't anything dramatic like that. It was just reading some books and hearing some sermons and kind of God gently working on my heart saying, you know what? This is what you're doing. This is what you're doing. And once I was able to acknowledge that body image and beauty idol in my life and really just do what the Bible prescribes in terms of asking for forgiveness, repenting, turning from it, acknowledging it, boy, I was able to find freedom that I never thought possible because I thought I would just always struggle like every other woman.
I think some of the problem is the repenting because we kind of like it.
Absolutely.
Which is true of any sin, but with food, you need to eat. You have to eat.
Well, yeah, you can't just, like, I'm just going to turn away from
away from food. You
know? Well, and then, but I mean, there's another side of this too, which is exercise. And I became a fitness instructor when I was in my late 20s. And part of the reason I did that is because I thought it would fix my body image issues. I thought if I were, quote unquote, good enough to teach at a gym, then I would finally feel like my body was acceptable. And it didn't work.
Didn't work
at all.
Okay.
No, I mean, I'm standing up in front of the kickboxing class and I could still tell you, oh, the lady in the front row is in much better shape than I am. Oh, that lady in the second row, boy, she should actually be teaching this because she's got much better legs than I do. And I mean, the comparison and that body image treadmill, if you will, of must be better, must get better, must tone more, must lose more weight. Like it just didn't stop even once my t-shirt said, you know, fitness instructor.
So then how did the comparison, like how long did it take for that shift to happen and what, how did you step by step get out of that comparison trap?
It certainly was step by step. I mean, you don't just flip a switch and wake up one morning completely different. Although I do think God can work that way. And so if he does work that way in your life, awesome. But for me, it was a process. And it's really a daily surrender of looking in the mirror, you know, waking up, looking in the mirror and saying, okay, I don't have to make the mirror happy today. My job here on this earth is not to be the most beautiful person ever, to draw as much attention to myself as I can. Like God didn't create us for that. And not that any of us are consciously walking through life thinking that, but I think in our heart, there is this struggle where we want to be acknowledged and seen as beautiful, right? And I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing, but I think the line is so easy to cross into desiring worship for ourselves. And when we do that, we are detracting from what we're really on earth here to do, which is to reflect God, right? We're made in image. And I feel like sometimes, especially like in church circles, we spend all this time trying to affirm each other with the, you know, God made every woman beautiful. And it's what's on the inside that counts. So it's like two different things. Like, God made us all beautiful, but don't worry about that because it's what's on the inside that counts. And wait, how am I supposed to feel? What am I supposed to be ugly? Like, is that what you want from me? Or am I supposed to be beautiful so I reflect God better? And it's just like this mess of messages. And I feel like what we miss in all that mess is it doesn't really matter. Like, the only reason beauty matters so much to our hearts is because of what our culture tells us. Okay. Our culture tells us that what we look like is where our value is derived. But that's not true.
So then how do you deprogram yourself from that? And how does taking care of your temple, you know, how does that fit in?
Okay, so I'm going to tackle the temple one first.
Okay.
What's a temple for?
Worship.
Worship. Is a temple to be worshipped?
No.
Do you try to make the temple as hot as possible so people worship your temple? I mean, but seriously, like, I'm kind of being a little sarcastic, but I think that that's where that message kind of gets awry, where it's like, I've got to have the hottest temple around. No, your temple needs to be useful, right?
Yeah, like, for worship.
You got to put your temple to work. Yeah. You're a temple. Yeah, okay, take good care of it. Like, don't let your temple, like, you know, grow dust mites or dust mites. Scratch that. Don't let your temple grow
fungus.
Dust mites on the mind. So take care of your temple, sure. But there's a line we cross in. I think it's Matthew 6, the treasure principle.
Okay.
Where it's where you place your treasure is where your heart is. And when Jesus talks about it in the Gospels, he's talking about money. But I think we can so easily with beauty kind of cross that line into making beauty our treasure. Mm-hmm. And then we've stepped over into what I would refer to as body image or beauty idolatry, where we're so focused on getting the temple to look a certain way that we're no longer living out the purpose that God has for our lives.
Does that loosen its hold on you after a while? Because I just think we do. We want to be beautiful. And because we compare, we want to be more beautiful. Like, so the idea that we're all made beautiful, I don't care about that. It makes it not matter for, I don't know.
Well, yeah. So there's The Incredibles. Have you seen the movie The Incredibles?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So the mom in The Incredibles tells Dash that Dash says he's special. And the mom says, well, we're all special, Dash. And Dash replies, well, that means no one's special. And, you know, that's a problem. If we're all beautiful, then really none of us are beautiful, right? Okay, so let's go to the Bible. Rachel and Leah.
Oh, I always felt so bad for Leah.
Me too. And I have people Google and find my webpage by typing into Google, want to be Rachel, not Leah.
Oh, gosh.
Okay? Yes. Because that's how, like, attached we get to that story, right?
Yeah.
But God says in the Bible, right? If you believe the Bible's, you know, inspired word of God, God goes right out and tells us that Leah was ugly. So think about, like, having your dad say that you're uglier than your sister. Like, that sucks. Yeah. But having the God of the universe make that determination. Okay, Leah was ugly.
And he made you? What?
Yeah. So it doesn't make sense to what we preach maybe too often in our women's group, which is we're all beautiful. God made us all physically beautiful in our own way. Well, what about Leah? He didn't. Yeah. He didn't. And that only hurts our hearts because we live here in the United States and, you know, in this time where beauty determines value, but it's not true according to God. But here's the redemptive part of Leah's story. Leah had tremendous purpose. Right? Leah's in the lineage of Jesus Christ. She's a great, great, a couple more great grandmothers to Jesus. He chose her, right?
Yeah.
And so although it's hard for our hearts still to say, ooh, yeah, I would still rather be the pretty one with problems than the chosen ugly one. I mean, I get that. But I think when we can turn our focus onto, okay, God, what purpose do you have for me here on this earth? That's when we start to find freedom. And this is going to sound totally silly and maybe a little shallow, but I'm going to say it because I've learned the more silly, shallow stuff I have, the more women are like, oh, I'm thinking that too. I just would have never said that out loud. Yeah. So I'm going to say it out loud. But when I finally recognized that God did not give me a 6-foot-tall, 100-pound body of a Victoria's Secret model, when I finally realized that he didn't give me that body because he did not create me to do any kind of modeling at all. Okay, I am like 5'5". I used to stretch it to 5.5", but I think the last doctor's appointment, they were like, no, you're going to have to step 5'5".
You're okay. A liar if you say that.
Exactly. 5'5". I don't think I've weighed less than 140 pounds since I was like in high school. Okay, so modeling is not going to happen for me. But once I was able to just acknowledge, you know what? God didn't give me a model's body because his purpose for my life is not for me to model. Yeah. But he made me look exactly the way I look to match what his purpose is for me. He's given me everything I need physically to do what he's called me to do. And at this season in my life, that's being a mom and fingers that type really fast so I can write stuff in between like refilling juices and making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and teaching spelling, you know. Yeah. So he's given me what I need to do what he's called me to do. And I feel like when women are able to embrace the fact that God has created us with a purpose in mind and he can fulfill his purpose in us, even before you lose the baby weight, even before you lose that 20 pounds, or even before you get those abs that you think you need in order to enjoy the summer, like he can still use us in the exact shape, size, state we are in right now. He's got a purpose for us. And I think once you can start taking steps towards that, that's when you start to find freedom. That's when that mirror reflection isn't as important because you're filling up so much on the inside as you pursue his purpose.
Yeah, that's good. It's hard though, man.
Yep.
Do you find that you slip back into that, or where are you at on the regular now?
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. Every day, it's a conscious thought of, okay, I'm not going to go back to that idol. I am not going to go back to letting that define me. But I was a chronic dieter. I mean, there is not a diet I haven't tried. And so when I hear about a new diet, I'm like, ooh, you know, like I get that excited feeling and I'm like, maybe I should try it. And so dieting is a danger area for me. I know I have to be careful because there is some good to following an eating plan that's healthier. Like there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was a cycle of going on diets, going off diets, going, and I was dieting not for health. I mean, you know, I think if most of us are honest, we're dieting to be hotter, not to be healthier. Okay. Right. Now there are definitely exceptions. So don't take that as, you know, anything, you know, any blatant judgment on anyone. Obviously there are certainly exceptions, but for a vast majority, I would say of women that I meet, if they're honest, they'll tell you, no, I'm dieting because I want a better body, you know, not because I want to be healthier. And so it's kind of unpacking what that bag is, you know, is it good for you to be pursuing health? Absolutely. Is it maybe not so healthy for you to be pursuing hotness at the expense of, you know, whatever God wants you to be pursuing? Well, that could be a problem.
Or pursuing that and calling it the pursuit of health, you know?
Yeah. Not being honest, you mean?
Yeah.
And that it's hard. It's so hard.
Okay. Have you seen people who've read your book come to some realizations that they didn't have before?
Yeah, it's been really awesome, Emily, because I wrote the book because I felt like most of the books I read on body image out there told me the same thing. They either tried to tell me that I was already beautiful and I needed to stop worrying about it. And I'm generalizing here, but they told me that I was already beautiful enough because God saw me as beautiful, or it's what's on the inside that counts. And I didn't know how personally to reconcile that in my heart because I still wanted to be more beautiful even after reading those books. So I felt like I wanted to write a book that would give women a completely different answer. And the emails that I get every week are kind of crazy, and it's, you know, just holy grace from God that women are sharing their stories with me, but they're saying, I've never heard of this body image idol thing before. I've never thought about the fact that there could be, and it's not fun to talk about, but sin involved, right? Because idolatry is sin. Yeah. And the sucky thing is, like, I am the woman speaking at events saying, hey, guess what, ladies? We might be sinning. You know? And it's like, oh, you guys are never going to invite me back. But but here's the good news. And this is how I describe it when I speak. You know, if we can find a root of sin in our struggles, there's a cure for sin, right? Mm. Like 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is a cure for sin, but there's no cure for normal girl problems. Right? Mm-hmm. If it's just it's a normal girl problem, this is something I'm going to have for the rest of my life because I was born female, yeah. You know, then you're just stuck, right? You're just going to keep going around the same mountain of, okay, I'm supposed to feel like I'm beautiful. Oh, but she's beautiful. Boy, I don't feel beautiful anymore. Okay, I'm going to the next church pep rally now. Oh, I'm beautiful. And then, oh, don't feel beautiful anymore because I got on Instagram. And yeah. I keep going round and round and round. But if you can identify the root of sin in it, it's good news. Because there's a cure for sin.
I love that. It's really encouraging. Yay. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. So I want to try something new. I want to try a lightning round.
Yeah.
I don't even know why. Just because why not? Right? Okay.
Sounds fun.
Okay. So I don't know the rules yet of this. So we should make them up as we go on. All right. So try to answer quickly. How about that's the rule? All right.
Okay.
And we'll see if you win any points that were worth nothing. Okay. what do you dislike for no reason?
Oh, man, I'm sucking at this.
No, you're fine. Let me tell you, like, one example for me, I hate LOL. I don't know why, but I actively hate it.
I hate PlayStation right now. How about that?
Oh, because your kids.
My kids use my Microsoft sign-in for their PlayStation, and then I can't get into any of my accounts.
That's
because
annoying.
They changed the password.
They changed the password?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So
it's not a devious thing. I mean, they're not doing anything that I feel like I should be supervising. It's just they need it to get in. And so they
can make it their own. What is a disgusting ice cream flavor?
Vanilla.
What?
I mean, there's so many other choices.
Okay.
Why would you choose vanilla?
Okay.
That's my personal
opinion. Okay. I hate Rocky Road.
Rocky Road?
I don't know what.
Yeah, those marshmallows are kind of gross.
Yeah, and like, doesn't it have like nuts in it or something?
Yeah.
So we've got super soft and super crunchy. I don't even know. Okay, what view would you most like to have outside of your window?
Ooh, the beach, ocean.
Okay. What product has greatly exceeded your expectations?
Dr. Axe protein collagen powder. Because I've tried like every protein powder out there and most are disgusting.
For smoothies.
Yeah. But Dr. Axe protein powder, the protein collagen, the chocolate flavor, it tastes good. I mean, sometimes I can trick my brain into thinking I'm having a McDonald's chocolate milkshake.
Okay. Is it AX or AXE?
AXE.
Do you get it at like the grocery store?
You can get it online. I think he's in Whole Foods now, but you can get it online straight from his site or I think it's on Amazon too.
And you like the chocolate flavor?
I love the chocolate flavor. Yeah. My husband likes vanilla. But I think they're.
But you're anti-vanilla.
I'm anti-vanilla, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Yeah. What are you doing with your life? Okay. What is the worst thing a person can do that's not illegal?
Lie.
Okay.
Yeah. I can take a whole lot.
Yeah.
But I can't handle it if you lie to me.
Yeah. I agree with you. I'm very anti-lying. Okay. One final question. What is something these days that you can't stop talking about? You cannot shut up about it.
Okay. So I love dang coconut chips. Have you tried them?
D-A-N-G?
Yeah.
Oh,
dang
no.
It because they're awesome. So I love those, but I'm also talking about The Greatest Showman a whole lot.
Okay.
The soundtrack.
Yes.
Like,
what's your favorite song? This Is Me or This Is The Greatest Show?
No, The Other Side. The Other Side.
Okay.
The one with Zac Efron, you know,
yes.
Where they're negotiating, because I feel like that's kind of the message of my book, you know, to take women to the other side. And sometimes like Zac Efron in that whole, you know, exchange didn't even know he needed to get out of where he was.
Good point.
And so I don't know. I just kind of related to it.
Yeah, that's great. It's a fun scene in my daughter's obsessed with that.
Yeah.
Right now. So I'm very, very acquainted with The Greatest Showman.
Uh-huh.
So good. All right. And those chips, are they just pieces of coconut that are like toasted or what?
Exactly. Yep. Just toasted pieces of coconut. They have some different flavors. Honestly, didn't really like the salted caramel flavor very much, which surprises me because I love salted caramel everything.
Okay.
But just the plain ones. It's a black bag. I get them on Amazon. They get them in the grocery store too. But they're just little, you know, they're crunchy and sweet. So it kind of satisfies both of those things.
I am obsessed
but they're
with coconut.
Fairly healthy.
Okay.
Yeah. You'd love these then.
Okay. Well, Heather, thank you so much. I've loved this.
Oh, awesome. Thanks for having me. It was super fun.
Ladies, I hope that interview helped you realize that the things going on inside your head,
is not just you. Maybe you're like Heather in motherhood you thought would fix your body image issues, but it sure didn't. Maybe when you eat, you feel like you did something wrong. Pause for a second and realize that is so messed up. We're not messed up, but that thinking is definitely not from our loving Father. Do you know what I mean? I think a strategy to struggle well this week would be to get Heather's book if you are someone who loves to read. You can find the link in the show notes at momstrugglingwell.com. Maybe you are looking to get a healthier concept about your body. What does God think of you? Like how you are right this minute. And if you've been around here for any amount of time, you know I send people to Revelation Wellness, my friend Elisa's ministry. It's really changed the way I see all of these things. You also might know that I am honored and blessed to lead a group of women through The Wellness Revelation, which is Elisa's book. It's a 9-week study. We talk about all this type of stuff, body image, identity, exercise, eating. What's super fun is that I get to know the women in the group really well and they get to know one another. I'm telling you what, one of my favorite things about this group is the connections that are made and the quote unquote coincidental similarities between them. It blows me away every time. So anyway, one is starting in August, my last one of 2018. I almost said 2008. Did you notice that? But the last one of the year opens in August for registration, but because this whole topic was about body image and everything, I went ahead and opened the registration now. It does sell out every single time. This will be my 5th, I think. So if you want in and you want a weekly chat with me and a bunch of new friends you've never met yet, go to momstrugglingwell.com/journey and sign up for that. I really love the things that Heather said, and they gave me a lot to think about because honestly, I do want to be beautiful and I wish that I did look like a model. I mean, I just met Miss Oklahoma yesterday and she taught me how to stand better for pictures and I still didn't look like her. You know what I mean? So I know in my own life, God has a lot of work to do and I am ready to let him do it. Wishing I was not Leah, wishing I was Rachel, it's exhausting. So hey, if this episode spoke to you and you thought of someone that you think it would really bless if they could hear these words, go ahead and share it with a friend, please. Your recommendation to your friends is one of the most valuable things that will help to grow this ministry. So share it. I'm watching you. No, I'm just kidding. But really do share it with someone who you think would benefit. Okay, it's time to bring back my sister, and we worked hard this week on a jingle for the Amazon affiliate link to make it easier for you guys. So let's listen into that. I was also going to say, I feel like we should have a jingle for the website link so that people can remember it.
Okay. And then you would play that?
Yeah, so I'd like you to make one up right now.
Amazon is where you buy the thing. Let me get some actual notes.
I just wanted it to be a link song, like just the link, like a jingle. A jingle of the link. A jingle link. Okay. Amazon.com/shop/momstrugglingwell.
That needs a ding-a-link.
Ding-a-link.
Amazon.com/show.
Shop.
Shop. /momstrugglingwell.
Yes.
Are we doing this now?
Yeah.
Is this, am I Chow Hound or
who's what does that mean?
Who are the people that make the songs for you? My dear Rebecca.
Oh, Songfinch. Songfinch, not Chow Hound.
Okay. I get it. Birds sing. Dogs eat. Okay. Shopping. Songs about shopping. Amazon.com. Shop. Nope. Slash.
You have to say slash.
Yeah. Amazon.com/shop/mom. Okay. No, that's good.
That's really
clear.
It's really clear. It sticks in your head. What about, I just called to say I love you. Amazon.com/shop. /mom struggling well
and song
and cut. All right, well,
just click it all day long.
Amazon.com/shop. Remember Playmen on the Rain? Millie Vanilli.
Oh,
they weren't really singing.
I'm 31.
Okay.
Are we done trying to fail at that?
Well, I don't necessarily feel like we nailed anything down.
All right. Well, I have it written down. We can think about it. I'm always making up songs, and they're normally a lot better than what I've performed for you today.
All right. Well, that'll be what you need to be focusing on.
All right, friends, let me go ahead and pray for us. Lord, sometimes when I think of all the things that go on in my head about my body and about food and about other women and the comparison and the loathing I have for myself sometimes, it's just exhausting. And yet your word says that those of us who are following you have the mind of Christ. And I'm pretty positive that these are not the thoughts he has about me. God, would you help our minds think true thoughts? Would you help us to bring into the light the things that we mull over in our brains about ourselves on a daily basis? Lord, we tend to either obsess over our bodies or neglect our bodies. Lord, would you show us this week which one that is for us? And would you help us untangle that mess? Lord, for the woman who's feeling incredibly hopeless about this whole situation right now, who's feeling like there's no way this could ever be different for her. It's been this way for so long. Lord, with you, literally everything is possible. You have set us free so that we would be free. I pray for freedom for these women through whatever resources or whatever journey that you want to take them on. God, would you resource them? Would you equip them? And would you empower them to walk in freedom in this area? In Jesus' name, amen.